Okay, well, my name is Issa, and this is Chasing Light. This is where the music comes in. Yeah, because this is kind of what I'm envisioning. So the music comes in, dunno, whatever it is.
Sweet. Yes. Hi, hey guys, this is Issa, and I am still in Norway, and I have a special guest with me. His name is Delfa, and he is a guide with Wandering Owl, which is a guide that I've been using for all of my excursions while in Tromsø. Did I say that right?
Perfect.
Yes! Perfect. So I've been learning how to say Tromsø a lot lately. So I'm hopefully by the time I leave, I get it right. But, I wanted to interview Delfa because, we've been getting a lot of your questions about, the Northern Lights and when to see them and where to see them and, you know, do they hum or sing or make noise when they appear in the sky? And so I wanted to sit down with someone who actually knows all of those answers because I do not. I am a photographer and you can ask me questions about that or music, but I am not very keen or understand how the Northern Lights work. So I wanted to bring him on, and I've been on two trips, two tours with him. And the first one was the Arctic landscape, which was awesome. It was a great relaxing day. We did a little bit of hiking. We saw some fjords. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We saw some mountains, a partial glacier, right?
Yes.
And you can interrupt anytime while we do this. And lakes and oceans and beaches. It was beautiful. It was stunning. Delfa is a hiker. He is a scientist. He is a photographer. He goes to Antarctica to work. Like, who goes to Antarctica to work? This guy does. He's very smart, had enough conversations to know that much about him and to know that this guy knows his stuff. He's also a photographer. So last night we had my last tour and he ended up being our guide and it was so much fun. It was a little nerve-wracking in the beginning because there was a lot of clouds. A lot of wind has been kind of in and around Tromsø. Yes. there's been a lot of clouds, a lot of rain. And so we were probably for a good hour and a half. This was after driving, 2 hours? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
2 hours to this awesome spot that's not far. I looked at the map again last night. It's not far from a national park. What national park is that?
Dividalen. Dividalen National Park.
Dividalen.
Close to Sweden.
So cool. So we're close to Sweden and we're close to Finland.
Finland.
Which is like so awesome. And the cool thing is the weather here is not that great. Then you guys drive to Finland. And so... if the weather there is good. And so I guess you were there last week.
Yeah, a few times in the last weeks.
Yeah. So I just want, I know a lot of you want to have the Northern Lights on your bucket list and want to explore. And if you are ever in Norway in Tromsø, every time I say that, I'm going to think, am I saying it right? So anytime you're in this area, please look up wanderingowl.com, wanderingowl.com. That's owl.com. So these guys is a company you want to look up. They're great. I had a blast. I've done four nights of lights. I think it was four, maybe it was three. I don't even remember because my days and nights have been so jacked. Pretty much a zombie when you're doing these tours, because you're up pretty late, and so during the day all you want to do is sleep. I've done enough tours to tell you that this company is awesome, and I was very pleased with my time with them, and the guides are amazing. Zoe was cool. Adrian was cool. First night I did lights. We stayed up pretty late, I'm so glad we did, because we got to see some pretty amazing action in the sky, and of course Delpha. I did two tours with him. I wanted to just introduce you to Delpha. And Delpha, say hi to the...
Hi, Isa. Hi, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
For your introduction.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for doing this. This was totally last minute. And I'm actually flying tomorrow to Latvia. But I wanted to sit down because I'm posting these images on Facebook. And so many people are commenting and asking questions, and I don't know the answers to some of these questions. I obviously came to Norway because my mom told me to come here and not Iceland. She said that her guide last year said that he lived in Iceland, and he finally just moved to Norway because the lights there were not as frequent, I guess is the word, as they were in Norway. The weather there is not that great for lights. And so he moved from Iceland to Norway to do tours, specifically in this area, Tromsø. And so I'm not an authority on any of this stuff. I just do a lot of research and I ask a lot of questions. And I came here instead of Iceland. I would have been in Iceland if I didn't do my research really good. So we're gonna just talk about the lights and the experience and why you should even do this, why you should see this magical, mystical phenomenon that occurs in the sky during a certain time of the year. So let's start there. What are Northern Lights?
What are Northern Lights?
Yes.
So I'm going to try to explain very simply. Mm-hmm. The Northern Lights are caused by what's happening at the surface of the sun. Mm-hmm. The sun sends these solar winds from time to time. It's a bit unpredictable. Mm-hmm. And those solar winds are just electric charged particle winds. So you have mostly electrons and protons. And then those winds, they travel very fast through the universe. And after 2 days, more or less 2-4 days, this energy reaches the Earth. Mm-hmm. And those electrons, they will interact with the lines of our magnetic field. Mm-hmm. And then they just follow the lines and they end up entering the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So in the north and in the south as well, because they're attracted by the magnetism of our planet, which means that if you have northern lights, you also have southern lights. And there is a mirror image. Yeah, you will see the same things
in Antarctica, right?
In Antarctica,
That's my second. I don't even know how I'm going to get to Antarctica, but I want to get there just to see the southern lights.
Well, good luck with that, because you have to be there in winter when it's dark enough to see them, and the weather is a bit different.
Thanks for your vote of confidence.
But it's possible. It's possible. And then you have those electrons entering the atmosphere. And every time an electron collides with an atom, which starts happening at 400 kilometers above our head, they will collide with the atom and they will excite the atom. And what it means is that an atom is just a nucleus with electrons going around very quick, and then there's collision. The electron goes away from the nucleus. That's when the atom is excited. And then the electron comes back to where it was originally, where it was going around the nucleus. And when it does that, it releases a photon. And the photon is the light. So every time there's a collision, there is a photon that is emitted, and then there's a light. And this thing happens between, it's very high. It's between 400 kilometers above our head and 90 kilometers above our head. Wow. So in feet, maybe you can translate in feet, I don't know, three times.
Kilometers,
so 100.
Meters to miles.
So 1,200.
So 90 to miles, 90 kilometers to, it's 55 miles.
55 miles, yes, yeah.
And then what was the other number?
So 400 kilometers for the highest aura.
That's 248 miles.
It is very high.
That's so high.
Even at the lowest 90 kilometers, it's still very high. It means that if you see them from a plane, for instance, which would be cruising at around 10 kilometers.
Right.
33,000 feet, then you will see the Northern Lights exactly the same way as if you were on the ground, because they're still very, very high.
That's interesting, because last night they seemed so close.
And they seem very close, especially when they get to this 90 kilometers. And then you have those different colors.
Yeah.
And that is depends on the altitude and the atoms that are excited. Okay. But let's say that most of the Northern Lights are green. Because the green happens between 250 kilometers above ahead and 100 kilometers. So all the green is there. Most of it is around 110 kilometers. And then when these electrons, they keep colliding with atoms and they still have some energy and some speed, then they reach 90 kilometers and they will start colliding with atoms of nitrogen. And those atoms, they will give the pink color. That we barely see last night, I think.
I was looking, I was like, I don't think we saw, there
was mostly green.
Mostly green.
And it's what we see most of the time. The pink is only when it's very intense and we get those storms, as we call them, the solar storms.
Okay.
But we haven't had that last night.
What we had last night was pretty awesome.
It was.
It was like, at one point, guys, like, it was so bad, not bad, like crazy. Crazy bad that I was literally trying to figure out where to point my camera, because it was, it just seemed like they were all around us. It was like behind us, in front of us, on the side, up on the hill, near the house. I mean, it was crazy.
And it's the exciting stuff about the Northern Lights.
Yeah.
When you go hunting, you go watching them, that you never know if you will find them.
Yeah.
If they will be there.
Yep.
If the weather will allow to see them, because obviously when it's cloudy, it's overcast, you can't see anything. You can't see the stars, so you can't see the Northern Lights above the clouds. So technically, our job as a guide is to, more than hunting lights, is actually to hunt the gaps in the clear sky. When it's overcast, and you have to do that in a way that's between 9 and 12, or more or less when the Northern Lights are more likely to happen. You will be under this gap when the clouds are moving. So there's some anticipation, and we have to rely on all the sources we have to predict the weather.
Right.
We're constantly connected to the weather forecast, and we don't care too much about the aura forecast in Tromsø, because there's always some activity.
Oh my gosh, because I was freaking out coming here because I saw the weather and it was like rain every day, clouds every day. And I'm thinking to myself, and the moon. And I was a little nervous about the conditions. And this tells you how much I don't know about Northern Lights and how they appear and when they appear and what's the best conditions. And all. This is why we're talking to Delpha right now, because he does. And he's a scientist, very smart. I think I mentioned that before. So, but I was really nervous, and then coming to here, this area has it's not a subclimate that you call it. What?
Yeah, we're
like very like different weather patterns.
Yeah, we are within the Arctic zone, so yeah. It's the Arctic. Clearly, mm-hmm. We're way above the Arctic Circle. Mm-hmm. We have 2 months in winter without sunrise and sunset.
Right.
So it what defines the Arctic Circle. No sun, at least for one day. So we're far north.
Yeah.
But the climate is it's almost sub-Arctic, and that is because of the Gulf Stream.
Okay.
So we have this warm current coming from the south, and it's just following the coast, and it's warming us up here and warming us the fjords and the mountains here. So we have, it's not the microclimate, but it's the climate that is influenced by the Gulf Stream. And as we get away from the coast and the Gulf Stream, right. Then the temperature drops right. Dramatically.
Yeah.
It's not a very cold place, Tromsø, especially if you consider where it stands on the map. I think the record is minus 18 Celsius. Sorry about that. Another Fahrenheit to translate. But
it's not very cold. Yeah.
Minus 18. But if you get away from the coast, when it's minus 15 or minus 10, and you go to Finland, get away from the Gulf Stream, then the temperature can drop to minus 40, minus 30, minus 40. And minus 40 is where Celsius and Fahrenheit are the same. Mm. So it gives you an idea of how cold it is.
Yeah.
So it makes this place very special and much easier when you go out and you go hunting the lights, because of course being out and waiting for hours when it's minus 30, minus 40, which might happen more often if you go to Alaska, for instance, mm-hmm. where you have the same probability to see northern lights. Mm-hmm. You're under the belt, the aurora belt, but you have weather conditions that are much, much harsher than in Tromsø.
Yeah. Just so you guys know, we're actually recording in a restaurant in the hotel, and they have graciously let us into a corner. So you might hear some cutting in the background or some dishes in the background, just so you know, that's kind of where we're at. So I could not pass up this opportunity to talk about the Northern Lights, because they've become, it's almost an addicting to go out and hunt and get, I don't know, like experience these lights. And so now some people have, I've been looking through my comments on Facebook, and a lot of people are asking where to look at, like where to go and see the lights. And a lot of people are like, yeah, Iceland is a place to go. And I want to talk about location and why a certain place is, there's more probability than another place.
Yeah, and it's a good question.
We talked about this last night.
And it's what people want to know. I think it's the first question that people have in mind.
Yeah, because
they want to see Northern Lights. It's a big investment.
Yeah, it's a big investment. It's on their bucket list. And if you go to a place that says, oh, we have Northern Lights, and then you don't get to see them, I've been a victim of that, and it sucks to have been advertised that this is a place to see a certain thing or to experience a certain thing, and then you go and then it doesn't happen. You made this investment and this thing is on your list, and then it doesn't happen. That's disappointing. And I want to make sure that people understand, that our listeners understand, like why a certain location is best over another. So.
Yeah, and I would say that no matter where you go, you will never have 100% chance of seeing Northern Lights, even if you go to the best spot in the world, because it has to do with nature.
Yeah.
We can't control everything.
Yep.
And we also have a lot of people who come just for 1 or 2 days, and you have to find a compromise between cost and efficiency.
Yeah.
But there's a way to maximize your chances to mm-hmm. see Northern Lights, and I think Tromsø is one of the best, the very best in the world, mm-hmm. Certainly better than Iceland, mm-hmm. and for a few reasons. One being that you see Northern Lights just under the belt, so there is this belt that is centered more or less on the magnetic pole, And this belt is sometimes quite narrow. It's a ring, or it can be very wide. Mm-hmm. And that's the KP index. If you have listeners who were, have been searching about Northern Lights, yeah, and they look for this index, there's an index telling you maybe your chance of seeing Northern Lights. Mm-hmm. It tells you actually how wide this belt is going to be. Mm-hmm. So it goes from 0, 1 to 8, 9. 0, 8, 9, it's quite rare, but when you have KP, this planetary index, you have KP 8, 9, mm-hmm, you can see Northern Lights in Scotland, mm-hmm, or Germany, mm-hmm, and it's really far south, mm-hmm, to see Northern Lights, or you can see Northern Lights really far north. You're, mm-hmm, getting away from the belt.
Right.
Tromsø is under KP 1, equivalent, mm-hmm, of KP 1. That means the ring can be very, very narrow. You will see Northern Lights under, yeah, the belt.
Yeah.
So we don't, if you are in Tromsø or anywhere else under the belt where it's KP1, mm-hmm, you don't need a lot of energy coming from the sun,
yeah,
to see Northern Lights. Right. So this KP index is not very relevant in Tromsø. Now, if you're going to a place where, well, you get away from the belt, whether you go to the north or to the south, mm-hmm, then the belt has to be quite wide for you to be under it and to see the Northern Lights. And Iceland is a bit away, a bit farther south, yeah, from the belt. So you need a higher KP. You need just more energy entering the atmosphere to see, yeah, the Northern Lights there.
Yeah.
So that's the first reason. And the other reason is that in Iceland, the cloud cover,
yeah,
is often very high. As I said earlier, you have to get away from the cloud to see the sky, to see the stars, and to see the Northern Lights.
Yeah.
We have this advantage in Tromsø that we have a very complex weather system.
Oh, yeah.
With the coast, yes, and then the mountain,
yep,
just east of the coast, and then inland. And you have those influences from the ocean and from the continent that gives usually opportunities to get away from bad weather. If bad weather is on the coast, most of the time we get away from the coast to Finland, and we manage to find some gaps or even clear sky. In Iceland, it's a bit more complicated. It's more homogeneous. So if you have clouds on one side of the island, you might drive 2 or 3 hours, but you won't get away from the clouds. And we as a consequence, we have many people who have tried,
yeah,
seeing Northern Lights. They've tried in Iceland because, yeah, they were told that it's a good place. And it is. You see them often.
Yeah, sure.
But they've tried once, twice, three times, and they haven't been lucky. And, yeah, so they're coming to Tromsø,
yeah,
to try their luck.
Yeah. And they should. They should come here. And they should book Wandering Owl because you guys are awesome. So let's talk about the cloud cover, because I think it was you, or maybe it was Adrian, you guys talked about high clouds and low clouds.
Yeah, that's now a bit technical, but if you are a guide and you are constantly checking the weather forecast, you are checking the cloud cover, but you need to know what kind a cloud there will be. You can divide the clouds in three layers,
yeah,
low, medium, and high clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And we're concerned about the low clouds. Mm-hmm. Low clouds and middle clouds,
mm-hmm,
that are those very thick clouds, bring, mm-hmm, rain and mm-hmm, snow, very thick, very dark, and you can't see through them,
yeah,
at all. So if you have 100% of cloud cover of those clouds, there's no chance to see Northern Lights.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have 100% of cloud cover that are high clouds, then you go out at night and you don't even notice that the clouds are there because it's another kind of clouds. They're composed of ice crystals.
Mm-hmm.
And you might guess that there's maybe a haze,
yeah,
especially if the moon is up.
Yeah.
But it won't bother us at all.
Yeah.
We will see the Northern Lights, the,
yeah,
stars.
I was so shocked because last night, it was my first night, I saw the moon and I thought to myself, oh, this is so bad, like just to have the light, because I'm thinking, shouldn't it be super dark, you know, and And it was like, no, we actually want the moon.
Talk about that. It's true. And people have that in mind. I think you can read on the internet. Mm-hmm. You start browsing that it's always better to go out when there's no moon. Mm-hmm. And we can see that in the bookings, that there are more people coming when there's no moon at all.
Yeah.
And I think it's... I wouldn't say that you should avoid when there's no moon, but I think the moon brings something else, something more.
Special.
Yeah. And especially if you're interested in photography,
yeah,
then the moon will bring this additional light on the landscape that will allow you to take amazing photos of Northern Lights.
That's true.
To see the landscape around and the mountain, that is amazing.
Yeah.
If you have a very strong activity, very strong Northern Light, mm-hmm. and no moon at all, you can't see anything. And then in terms of photography, it's very challenging because you have this super high contrast between the Northern Lights and the sky and the rest.
Yep.
And that you end up with a photo that is, if it's well exposed and not overexposed,
then
Northern Lights are well exposed, but the rest is completely dark.
Yeah.
So I like it when the moon is up, definitely.
Me too.
Yeah.
It was pretty special. I don't know. I love the moon, so I don't have anything against the moon. Only when I'm probably shooting more stars and stuff, I prefer.
Yeah, I think people are concerned about the thing that if the moon is up, it will be bright, and then it will compete with the Northern Lights, and you won't see them.
Yeah.
And my answer is that, of course, if the Northern Lights are extremely weak or towards the moon, then you might not see them as well. But overall, the overall is very positive, I think. Mm-hmm. It's much better with the moon, I would say. And you can go around, you can walk, you can hike. You don't need lights and you see everything. And here there's a lot of snow. Now not too much. You haven't seen a lot of snow, but soon there will be snow.
Yeah.
And the whole landscape is white. Mm-hmm. So when there's half a moon in the sky, everything is very bright. It's magnificent.
You don't need flashlights or anything. Yeah, last night was pretty special. It was probably the brightest I've seen them in my entire trip, so I was so glad that I added another day to seeing them. I had a question. What's the other question that I saw was about do they sing? I heard you can hear them. Sabrina Decker posted a question. I heard you can hear them like a humming. Is that true? She posted this last night after I posted this photo. One of the photos.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Photo.
Isn't that so sweet? I love it. I'm going to have to frame that one. But she posted that, and I thought to myself, I didn't recall hearing anything except for my excitement of the lights. So I might have missed it, but I remember asking you, and I thought it'd be good to talk a little bit about it.
I haven't heard anything last night either, but it's a fact that many people, or you can read, I haven't met anyone who has heard Northern Lights, but you can read in the literature that many people think that they have heard something. Yeah. And the strange thing is that all the words they use to describe what they've heard are the same.
Right.
So people are hearing the same things. Now you have to imagine that those Northern Lights, they are at least 100 kilometers above your head.
Yes.
So it was a bit puzzling for the scientists to imagine how you can hear something that is so far away in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So no one had a real explanation about how it was possible. For a very long time, it was kind of a myth. Mm-hmm. But there's a kind of a breaking news. There's this scientist. He's from Aalto University in Helsinki, Finland, who has specialized on this topic.
Yeah.
He's convinced that Northern Lights are making noise. He has heard them before. And he published a paper in 2016. So not really breaking news, but it's still a very new finding where he offers an explanation about this noise. Mm-hmm. And I was checking this morning again, and it seems that over the last 2 years, his theory has become more accepted. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't say that the Northern Lights are producing the noise. So the theory is, put in simple words, it's called the inversion layer hypothesis.
Okay.
And maybe you have witnessed that, especially if you live in cold places, mm-hmm. where sometimes you have very cold air that is just above ground, the first 10, 20, 30, 40 meters.
Mm-hmm.
It goes above the houses.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the smoke
mm-hmm.
coming out of the chimneys.
Mm-hmm.
And the smoke doesn't go up. It just spreads over the village,
yeah.
over the houses.
Which I've seen.
You've seen that?
Absolutely.
And that is because you have a layer of very cold air that is...
it almost acts like a trapper.
Yeah, it's trapped. It's actually, warm air that is
mm-hmm.
Trapped between the ground and the layer of cold air that is above this warm air, which is a bit counterintuitive because usually what's cold is more dense and
sure.
sinks and
yeah.
goes under the warm.
Uh-huh.
But it's what is called an inversion layer. And that is just because of some weather conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite common. And then because of this absence of air mixing, the cold and the warm, you have electric particles
mm-hmm.
that are accumulating.
Mm-hmm.
So you have negative charges and positive charges that are not mixing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have those northern lights
yeah.
very far up in the sky.
Right.
And the northern lights are electricity.
Yeah.
So they can discharge those positive and negative charges that are not mixing
sure.
above the ground. And the limits between the warm air and the cold air is about 80 meters,
mm.
70, 80 meters above ground. So it's very close to us.
Mm.
So those northern lights, indirectly, they cause a discharge
mm-hmm.
of those particles.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you hear.
Mm.
And it's exactly the same phenomenon as when you sometimes the air is very dry and you touch someone or you touch a handle
right.
and then you feel the electricity
right.
like a shock.
Yeah.
You can hear this tick
yeah.
And it's a discharge
yeah.
it's of like electricity.
Static. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting.
I have never heard that myself. But you need those very special conditions where it's cold and where you have this inversion layer happening.
Cool. Well,
so it's exciting.
Yeah.
And it's actually where science meets the myth and our imagination.
Sure.
And for the first time, we find an explanation about what could be the noise.
Maybe.
And
yeah,
I think it's really awesome.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
They're just awesome. If you have the Northern Lights on your list, I highly recommend you make your way to Norway and check them out. And best time of the year.
Yeah, of course. Probably the last and most, the most important question is when.
Yeah.
When you have figured where, you want to know when
yeah.
you book your trip. And in Tromsø, we go out from September to the first week of April. And the reason is it's dark enough to see them.
Yeah.
Within this time period between September and April,
yeah.
there's no real difference.
Right.
If you look at the numbers and the statistics, you have a little bit more, between 5 and 10% more activity in Northern Lights in October and March,
yeah.
close to the equinoxes.
Yeah.
But it's not something that we observe in Tromsø,
sure.
unless you have instruments to measure that.
Yeah, yeah.
But so it's really homogeneous, and I think the criteria shouldn't be this number.
Mm-hmm.
If people want to come to Tromsø to see Northern Lights, they should look at other things, for instance, the temperature.
Yep.
Or if they want to come in October, September, when we have all the colors, autumn colors.
Which is amazing.
Amazing, and the berries everywhere,
yeah.
and the mushrooms.
Didn't get to see those last night.
And it's very comfortable. Like last night, it was only 5 degrees
yeah.
Celsius. Very
only
comfortable.
Only 5.
Only 5 because...
I think about 40 degrees, I think.
40?
I think.
So it might be cold if you come from Texas or Singapore, but if you come in February or March, you can hit minus 30 or minus 40
yeah.
Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the whole experience more exotic, of course, but also more difficult because we sometimes stay outside for a few hours just waiting.
That's
we want
true.
To take photos. We use our fingers to take photos.
Yep.
The batteries are suffering, but it's also really nice, I think, to be in the snow and to see those really the Arctic winter.
Yeah.
So I think it depends on what people want to experience and also what they want to experience beside the Northern Lights. Because if you come in February or March, you can also go skiing or try snowshoeing, or you can go with the dogs and the sledges.
Yeah. Which would be cool.
It's really cool. On the other hand, in September, October, before the snow, you have access to more spots.
Yeah.
You can go everywhere with the vehicle or get closer to those spots.
Right.
So there are pros and cons, but but the criteria, the thing about the Northern Lights, are they better in October or January? It's not the right approach, I think.
Yeah, that's good. And if you come to see the Northern Lights, you probably don't want to book 2 days or 3 days. I mean, I think you want to start for 4 days, right?
I think it's a compromise between...
I mean, 'cause it's like,
But it's also expensive.
Yeah.
So I think after three, four nights, the probability to see Northern Lights is extremely high.
Yeah.
But if you come just for one or two nights, then it's just more risky.
Yeah.
It's a gamble.
Yeah. I came for six, and I'm so glad I did. Let's see. What else? What else? Fjords. Our landscape, the landscape, Arctic landscape tour that we did, we should talk about that. Because we did see, I didn't know this about this area, the whole glacier thing was just like, it was just mind boggling for me to see these mountains and then to hear the word. They were, I think the phrase you used was above. They were all above the glacier.
I think maybe your listeners will imagine what it looks like here looking at the photos. Mm-hmm. But technically, it's a mix of high mountains and the ocean. Mm-hmm. And the ocean going into the mountains, into the valley, into the valleys. And that's what we call the fjords and the famous Norwegian fjords. That were created originally by the glaciers.
Yeah.
Now they're gone.
Yeah.
But the last ice age or glaciation was 10,000 years ago. And then this area here was just covered in ice.
Yeah.
There were 200-300 meters of ice.
Yeah. When he said that, I was like, wait, what? Covered in ice?
Now we walk in what those glaciers have created. And they're gone. But they are the reasons why we have fjords today here. And they just carved out the mountains. And
beautiful.
It's very spectacular.
Yeah. So when you're here, you have to obviously not just do Northern Lights. You should also consider doing the Arctic landscape, depending on the time of the year.
Yeah, it's actually just a road trip that we take over some islands.
Mm-hmm.
For one day, and it gives an idea about what it looks like, and you see all the different features of the landscape with the fjords, with the beaches, and the small villages,
which are so cool.
It's the first thing I do when I have friends, family coming over. Just go in the car for one day, just show them everything. Yeah,
I wish I could stay longer. Well, I don't know what else we're missing. I want to make sure that I think we covered everything we said we would. And we're ending a little early, which is not a bad idea. But
I just maybe want to say that if people are afraid of the cold, because it's why I observe in our guests, if they're not used to that, there's really nothing to worry about if you are with guides. Because we and most companies and we also offer very warm clothes and suits and boots and gloves. And we're very, very careful with our guests, making sure that they're not cold.
Yeah.
Because what we want is to people to enjoy the experience. If you start being cold, then you can't enjoy anything. So
we're
really careful about that.
Yeah. And you guys also make a fire.
And we make a fire and we have hot food, homemade and chocolate drinks.
Yeah.
It has to be and it must be a fun experience before being a scary experience.
Yeah, totally. Well, thank you so much for doing this. Really appreciate it. I know you have a lot going on and you're heading out to Antarctica in December.
Oh yeah, in a month. Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. And you're prepping for that. So I really appreciate your time. Sharing your time and sharing with our listeners about a little bit about the Northern Lights and what they are and where to see them and when to see them.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, hope to see you again.
Oh yeah, for sure. I want to do a trip with Dirt Princess. I know we talked a lot about that, bringing a group of people out and doing what I've been doing for the last couple of days, maybe with some other things in between, just so that we can spread it out a little bit, because, you could be out depending on the night and what's going on with the lights, could be out pretty late. And so, but I definitely want to work with you and wandering out and figuring out like how we can do this with a small group.
That would be really great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said something important. The small group thing is important to us as well.
It's important to Dirt Princess too. So it's a different experience.
Yeah, we're interested in focusing on personal experience.
Yes.
So we're not interested in big groups and mass tourism.
Yeah.
And we see people as like visitors, as people, and not just people passing by and tourists.
Yes.
It's what makes our job as a guide interesting.
Yeah.
So definitely small group up to 10 maximum.
Yeah.
Is perfect.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And it's actually why I booked you guys. Because I had several companies that I was looking at, and I just was like, I don't want to be in a big bus with a lot of, 30 people or, even 20 people would be too much for me. Especially if you're a photographer and you're trying to take photos of this crazy action that's going on in the sky, and you have like a ton of people around and they don't know that you're taking a photo, and it just becomes really chaotic.
Yeah.
Not pleasant.
It's a long trip to Tromsø.
You want to have the best
experience.
For sure. Yeah. So I'm so glad I found you guys on Instagram. And thank you so much.
Thank you
guys. You're welcome. This is, I'm so glad we got to talk a little bit about the Northern Lights. And this is officially episode 2. So I am so excited for you guys to listen. I will be posting more and more shows as obviously the months go by. And so this is Chasing Light and this is Issa signing off. Talk to you guys later.